scriptures in hand and turn with me to Genesis chapter 37. In just a moment, we're going to be reading verses 5 through 9. We're continuing our series this morning, Promotion, and today's message is titled, A Downward Ascent, A Downward Ascent. You know, the term yuppie was popularized in the 1980s. It stands for young, upwardly mobile professional. And it's a philosophy that pervades our culture, proposing in a host of ways that the way to go is up. Whether it's getting to the top or being the most successful or having the most money or gaining the most fame or the most attention. Henry Nguyen, a Christian author and minister, in his book, The Selfless Way of Christ, contrasts this philosophy of upward mobility with Christ's example and teaching of downward mobility. As the disciples competed among themselves for position, Jesus taught that in his kingdom, the one who would be greatest must be the servant of all. And when none of his disciples wanted to pick up a towel and basin to serve one another by washing each other's feet, he, who was the Lord and master of all, took off his robe, picked up a towel, bowed down, and washed his disciples' feet, and said, "If I, the Lord, can wash your feet, then you ought also to do this for one another." And he, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, would eventually lay down his life in service to his disciples and to us all, giving himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He taught and demonstrated that the ways of the kingdom of God and the ways of the world are radically different, even opposed to one another. The way of the world is upward mobility, but the way of the kingdom is downward mobility. In the kingdom, the way up is down. And this value shift must often be learned through the experience that God carefully orchestrates in our life to prepare us for promotion. You see, God teaches us the way of downward mobility through the experiences he orchestrates in our life to prepare us for the promotion that he wants to bring to our lives. And we see this clearly manifested in the story of Joseph. Read with me, if you will, Genesis 37, verses 5 through 9. Now, Joseph's story covers several chapters, and we're going to be referring to different incidents in Joseph's life, but this is going to be our launching point. The scripture says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." He was excited. And his brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to me." Guess what? They weren't thrilled with that dream either. You know, Joseph was 17 when he received these two dreams. Dreams that God had given him, that he would rise to leadership and that even his parents and his brothers would bow down one day and serve him. But in his youthful immaturity and pride, he rushed out, not using wisdom, and shared it with his brothers who already hated him because he was his father's favorite. And they were enraged. And as a result of their anger, his life would take an unexpected turn. They seized a hold of him, threw him in a pit. They conspired to kill him, but his brother Reuben stepped in to save his life and proposed, "Why don't we sell him as a slave? At least that way we can make a profit, and then we'll tell Dad that wild animals killed him." And they sold him as a slave. He was bought into a political official's home where he served as a servant. And there he was falsely accused by the man's wife of rape, and he wound up in prison. This one who, by God's revelation, was destined for greatness, winds up in prison. All before he would eventually be promoted to prime minister of Egypt. Joseph's story is a story of promotion, but it is a story of the downward ascent that God uses in our life to lift us up to where he wants us to be. In the kingdom of God, the path to promotion takes you down in order to take you up. And this is a truth that in his youthful immaturity, Joseph seemingly did not understand. And many believers today do not understand this truth either. Having served as a presbyter for about 8 years, and a presbyter in the Assemblies of God is akin to a bishop or an overseer in other denominations, and having served in that position, I had the opportunity to work with candidates applying for credentials and also young ministers. And I could see in some of them that they did not understand this truth of a downward ascent. Some of them thought that the moment that they got their credentials, because they felt called and that they could preach, they were now qualified to be a senior pastor. And on many occasions, youth pastors got themselves in a mess because they got lifted up in their youthful pride and immaturity, and they got lifted up having a vision and a call, and they thought that that qualified them to know better than the senior pastor under which they were serving. And sometimes that caused conflict and even the loss of their ministry position. They didn't understand that in the kingdom of God, the path to promotion is a path of the downward ascent, the path of humility, the path of brokenness, the path of pain, the path of submission, the path of maturity. And this is a truth that we all need to learn, because we're not just talking about promotion in ministry. We're talking about promotion in life. And when we talk about promotion in a spiritual context, we are talking about God lifting us up to the next level of his blessing, the next level of his favor, the next level of spiritual anointing and authority, the next level of his divine purpose and destiny for our lives. That's what we're talking about. And God has a destiny for every one of us to walk in. And so we're talking about God lifting us up to the next level of what he has for us. So this is a truth that we all need to learn. And the story of Joseph teaches us several important lessons about the downward ascent to promotion. The first thing we see is that promotion comes with a price. Promotion comes with a price. You see, the problem is that we want to bypass the price and go directly to the promotion. We want the promotion. And we think the promotion, because God has put something in our heart or given us a dream or a desire or a passion, we think that the promotion is going to happen tomorrow. And we don't realize that there is a price to pay. When Joseph received the dream of promotion, he never imagined what it would cost him. He didn't imagine that it would cost him almost being murdered by his brothers, being thrown into a pit, being sold as a slave in Potiphar's house, being falsely accused of rape, and ending up in prison for years. Joseph was 17 when he received the dream. He was in his 30s when the dream was fulfilled. And in those intervening years, there was a high price of suffering that Joseph paid. But when he received the dream, he was excited about the vision God gave him. He rushed out and told it to his brothers. But had he known the price, perhaps he would not have been so eager. You see, our fleshly nature wants the promotion, but doesn't want to pay the price that is required for promotion. You know, this is the same temptation that Satan used to seduce Adam and Eve. Just eat of the forbidden fruit and you shall be as gods. You see, that's a description of promotion. You're going to be lifted up above where you presently are. Eat the forbidden fruit and you shall be as gods. But the problem is, you're bypassing the price. The price was submission to God, obedience to God. But Satan said, you don't have to submit or serve God. You can have the promotion now without that. You can be your own God, bypass the price of submission, and promote yourself to the position of authority. You know, it's the same temptation that Satan used with Jesus in the wilderness. Satan said, just bow down to me, just for a moment, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. What he was saying is, you can bypass the cross and still get the crown. You see, our fleshly nature wants the crown, but we want to avoid the cross. We don't want the pain of dying to self. But that is the only path to promotion in the kingdom of God. Now, I know that this is not a popular message. You know why I know it's not a popular message? I haven't heard one amen. If I was preaching about, you know, God's blessing or God's healing or God's miracles or God's answers to prayer, we would be saying amen and shouting. But you know what? This is just as much a spiritual truth as those other themes. You see, we want to shortcut the pain and go straight to the gain. We've all heard the saying, no pain, no gain. And there's a lot of truth to that. And it's also true in regard to promotion in the kingdom of God. The lie Satan used to try to seduce Jesus is that he could skip the pain of the cross and still have the world fall at his feet. Now, Satan had the power to grant that promise temporarily, because in Luke 4:6, even Jesus referred to Satan as the prince or the ruler of this world. But it would be temporary, because we know how the story turns out. And we know that Jesus is coming again, and Satan is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So his rulership over this world is temporary. So he tries to seduce Jesus. Just worship me for a moment, and I will give you the kingdoms of this world. Bypass the cross, and I'll give you the crown. But Jesus chose to honor God, not only to receive an eternal crown, but to give his life as a sacrifice to save the world. He chose to honor God, and he chose to serve others rather than get that immediate gratification of the cross, of the crown without the cross. Now, I want you to understand that wherever God is at work, Satan is also at work. And he is at work to hinder and oppose God's purposes and God's plans in your life. Just as he was opposed to God's plan in Adam and Eve's life. Just as he was opposed to God's plan in Jesus' life. He is at work. So what we see here in the story is that God gives a vision to Joseph. And you can be sure that as the moment that God gives the vision to Joseph of this divine destiny of leadership that God has for Joseph, Satan also shows up. And he shows up with the same tactic that he used against Adam and Eve, and the same tactic that he used against Jesus. Joseph immediately rushes out, and he wants to announce himself as leader. Presto whammo! Brothers and sisters, mom and father, you are supposed to bow down to me. Satan wants to seduce us to try to take the easy path to the promotion, the painless path, the shortcut. But if we give in to that, we are giving Satan influence in our life. And when you give Satan an inch, he will soon be ruler of your life. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 4, he says, do not give place. Don't give a foothold to the devil. Because if you let his foot in the door, before you know it, he's going to push that door wide open and he's going to take possession. In the kingdom of God, there is no shortcut to promotion. The path to the crown always goes through the cross, and we must pick up our cross and deny ourselves to experience the promotion God has for us. You see, God often uses pain as the platform to lift us up to promotion. David was anointed as king when he was a teenager, but he would not assume the throne until 13 years later. And that intervening period of 13 years was filled with pain for David. The current king Saul, whom David had faithfully served, now turned on him and hunted David down like a wild animal to kill him. Pain. Later, David's hometown, where his wife and children were, was burnt to the ground by the enemy. His wife and children were taken captive. And his own men got angry with him because while they were out fighting someone else's battle, their own home had burnt down. And they turned against David. Pain. We could tell other stories, but those 13 years were filled with pain. You see, God uses pain as the platform to bring promotion. The Bible tells us in Philippians 2 that Jesus, who was in the form of God, did not think that being God was something to hold on to. But instead, he humbled himself and came in the flesh and humbled himself even unto death. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Do you see that? The pain was the path to the promotion because Jesus humbled himself and went to the cross. That became the platform for his promotion. You see, God intends the pain to make us, not to break us. Right. Folks, we got to get that down in our spirit. Because sometimes when we're going through the pain, we're, well, God, what are you doing to me? God, don't you... And we're allowing the pain to destroy us, and that's not God's intent. God intends the pain to make us, not to break us. God will permit us to go through test after test until he knows we can be trusted with promotion and the increased authority that it brings. Pain qualifies us for promotion. And each level of promotion will follow a test.
That's right, Pastor.
I want you to understand that. If you're going through something, just say, Satan, get out of my way, because God's getting me ready for promotion.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Each level of promotion will follow a test or tests, put an S on there, of pain to teach us a greater degree of submission and dependency on God that qualifies us to be trusted with a higher level of promotion. So if you're going through something, get ready, because a promotion is on its way. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. So we also see that promotion comes through a process. You know, Joseph didn't understand this. Joseph got the dream and immediately went out and announced it and expected his brothers and his parents to bow down to him. Sometimes we don't understand there is a process. There is a process. Because promotion requires the perfecting of our character. Joseph had a dream that God was going to make him a leader, and he wanted it now. He wanted it immediately, despite his immaturity, his lack of wisdom, and his selfish ego. You see, he was his father's favorite. He was spoiled. He was wearing designer clothes, a coat of many colors. His brothers weren't wearing that. They were out working in the field, getting all dirty. He was back home relaxing with his father. He was used to being the center of attention. He was used to having privilege. He was the one God sent out to check up on his older brothers to make sure they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. He was used to having privilege. He was used to getting his way. So the flesh got puffed up. So then he gets this dream, and immediately he runs out and tells his brothers, and he expects them to be happy and to bow down right there and then. He can't understand why they're not excited about this. They become angry, and they throw him in a pit as they conspire together to kill him. And there in the pit, he can likely overhear them plotting his own murder. Now that'll humble you real fast. And he needed his ego to be broken. That'll get you dependent on God real fast.
That's right.
But you see, before God can raise you up in anything, ministry or anything, because Joseph wasn't being raised up to ministry, he was being raised up to a political career. Before God can raise you up in anything, he has to perfect your character through trial. You see, there's an old saying that says, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And you see, the more power a person gets, the more you're going to see the cracks in their character. Because that power is going to corrupt them. And cracks that were just fissures when they didn't have, you know, just these little thin cracks when they didn't have power, when they get power, those cracks in their character are going to really show up.
Wow.
Really show up. I was in the airport several years ago coming back from our headquarters in Springfield, Missouri. I had gone up there to serve on a committee. And I ran into one of our AG officials and pastor of a megachurch who was also waiting on the same flight that I was. And so we began to talk, and he started to tell me the story of a young man whom he had raised up in ministry from the time that he was a youth, and then he went on to become one of his youth pastors and assistant pastors on staff at his church. And then the young man felt to go to the mission field, and he went to the mission field, but after a short period of time, he didn't feel like that was for him, and so he returned to the States. And this pastor, knowing that this young man was a strong preacher and having known him for some time, decided to rehire him because this pastor was preparing for retirement. And so because he knew that the young man was a good preacher and a skilled leader, he thought, let me bring him on staff. Let me groom him so that he can, you know, take my place. And so as he was grooming him to be the pastor, he was giving him more and more responsibility and eventually gave him oversight of the administrative and financial aspects of the church. He made him the executive pastor. And so one night, months later, the pastor was in his office working, and two deacons came and knocked on the pastor's door. And when they came in, they threw on his desk copies of the church's financial reports. And they made the pastor aware of checks that had been written out by this young pastor, totaling more than $500,000,
wow,
for building materials of a house,
wow,
on the other side of the United States.
Wow.
He was building a mansion in another state. And this pastor said, looking back, I should have seen it. All the warning signs were there, but I overlooked it. He said when he came back from the mission field, he was very concerned with wearing designer suits and shoes and driving expensive cars. And one day, we were driving together through a very wealthy area of town with millionaires' homes. And he just blurted out, one day I'm going to live in a house like that. The pastor said at the moment he said it, it didn't quite set right with me, but I dismissed it. But what happened was the young man had a materialistic spirit. He had pride. And the more power he was given, the more opportunity for this fleshly appetite to grow and manifest itself. And he ended up destroying his ministry and damaging that church. You see, that's why the pit and the prison is an essential part of perfecting our character. Because if you get promotion without the pit and the prison, the cracks in your character are going to be given opportunity. When you find yourself in a pit, remember that God is perfecting you because he has you in line for promotion. When you find yourself in a pit, remember that God is perfecting you. Folks, you got to change your perspective. God is perfecting you because you're in line for promotion. Don't despise the process. Embrace the progress. No matter what Joseph went through, he didn't become angry or filled with bitterness. He could have become angry and bitter with his brothers. He could have become resentful against Potiphar's wife for falsely accusing him of rape. He could have become angry at the baker and the butler in prison, who he interpreted their dreams, but then they forgot to tell Pharaoh about him. He could have become angry and bitter. He had many reasons to be. But Joseph kept his heart pure. Through the process, Joseph's fleshly pride was humbled. Through the process, he learned to be faithful, to wait upon God, and trust in God's way and God's time. God would bring about the vision in his life. Through the process, he learned submission. You see, being in situations where you have no control teaches you submission. When Joseph was in Potiphar's house, he learned submission as a slave. When Joseph was in prison, he learned to submit to the keeper of the prison, so that later on, when he would be in the palace, he would know how to submit to the Pharaoh. And at each stage, submission brought promotion. Because wherever he was, God blessed him. In Pharaoh's house as a slave, God blessed him because he learned submission. And Potiphar made him ruler over all, everything he had. In prison, he learned to submit. And he got promoted. Every level of submission brought promotion in Joseph's life. Through the process, Joseph learned wisdom. You see, early on, he didn't know wisdom when God gave him these visions. He immediately ran out, impetuously told his brothers and thought they'd be excited for him. He didn't use wisdom. But through the process, he learned wisdom. He didn't allow himself to be moved by emotion, as he did when he was a youth sharing the vision with his brothers. He learned to be patient, because there's a right time and a right place according to God's will and purpose. And so Joseph's character was perfected in so many ways through the things that he suffered. Being a slave and a prisoner, he might have felt that the path was moving him further from the vision, but it was actually moving him towards the promotion. Folks, get that in your spirit. Sometimes we look at the hardship or the difficulty that we're going through, and we say, God, I don't understand this, because you said this and you said that. I'm supposed to be over there, and it looks like I'm moving backwards. And we don't realize that the path God has us on, even though in the natural it looks like we're moving further from the vision, is actually God's path to promotion in our life.
Hallelujah.
You see, the path Joseph was on was necessary so that he could be trusted with the position and power that God would give to him. And every step of the path was positioning him for the promotion that God had for him to Pharaoh's prime minister. Don't despise the process. Embrace the progress. Thirdly, promotion comes through a plan. You know, later on, when Joseph finally gets his promotion, and God gives him wisdom to prepare the land of Egypt for a terrible famine that is coming by storing up grain for 7 years. Then this terrible famine hits, and people are dying all over. And his own family, his own brothers, have to come down to Egypt in order to get food to survive. And finally, he reveals himself to his brothers. They didn't recognize him because he had on all that paint that the Egyptians wear and everything. But finally, when he reveals himself to his brothers, they are scared out of their skin. Because they remember what they did to him, and now he has power. But Joseph tells them, don't be afraid. Because what you meant for evil, God has turned for good to save many. The nation of Israel was saved because God had positioned Joseph there. Many people were saved because God had positioned Joseph there. And what happened was, looking back, Joseph now understood God had a plan all along. I might not have been able to see it at the moment, but God had a plan all along. And folks, you may be going through pain. You may be going through suffering. You may be going through a hard time, and you may not understand it, but realize God has a plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Take me on through, Lord.
We need to realize that the journey is more important than the destination. God is in control, and nothing, absolutely nothing, can happen in our life without God. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens by accident. God's got a plan. God is perfect in all his ways. He knows exactly what he's doing. You may not understand it. It may look like God was sleeping when this happened to you, but God is perfect in all of his ways. Hallelujah. God makes no mistakes. Hallelujah. And God is more interested in who you're becoming than where you're going. Hallelujah.
That was good. That was
See, we just want to get there. If we're in pain, we want to get out of pain. If we're seeking, you know, a higher position in our career or whatever, we want to be over there. But we don't want the plan. We don't want the plan. But God is more interested in who we're becoming and perfecting our character than in where we're going. See, when we stand before God, he's not impressed by titles or positions or possessions or popularity or any of those things. It's all about who we are in him. If you become who God wants you to be, God will take you where he wants you to go.
Come on, Pastor, that's good.
If you become who God wants you to be, he'll take you where you want to go. See, in the Old Testament, Israel ended up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because they had some fleshly attitudes. And because of those fleshly attitudes, God said, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and this entire generation is going to die in the wilderness. What was going to die in the wilderness? The fleshly attitudes. The flesh has to die in the wilderness before we can enter the promised land. We've got to become who God wants us to be before we can get to where God wants us to go. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. I don't want to wander for 40 years. I want to learn whatever it is God is teaching me now so I can get where he wants me to go. Hallelujah.
Big Lord.
We also need to learn the purpose will be manifest in God's time. The purpose will be manifest in God's time. See, we can try to take things into our own hands and promote ourselves with self-confidence, with wheeling and dealing. We can try to get to where we think God wants us to be. Because you see, Joseph was trying to get to, he wasn't trying to do something evil. He was trying to get to where the vision was that God had for him. But he was trying to do it himself. And so we can try to take things into our own hands. And it may get you a promotion for a moment. But it won't keep you there. And it will cost you the blessing and favor of God. See, Proverbs 16 says, pride goes before destruction. And an arrogant spirit before the fall. If you try to do it your own way, there's a fall on its way. But Psalm 75, 6 and 7 says, for promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. It doesn't come through earthly means. But God is the judge. He is the one who puts down and lifts up another. Did you see what it says? He is the judge. He is the one who evaluates or judges who is qualified for promotion.
And God is looking at our hearts. He's looking at our character. He's looking at our lives. And he is evaluating whether or not we are ready for the promotion that he desires to bring in our life. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You gotta go through to get to, oh yeah.
I went through cancer for the last 8 months. I was being treated for cancer. That was a part of God's plan, and it was a part of God's path, because I know that there is a promotion on its way. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. But the promotion would never come if I didn't submit to his hand and let him do in me and through me what he wanted to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, God. Keep taking me through.
Promotion comes from the Lord.
God
delights to promote his people. God delights to fulfill his plan and his destiny for his people. God delights to bless and lift up his people. But God's path to promotion is a path of downward ascent. A downward ascent. God may have placed in many of your hearts dreams and visions. God may have spoken things to you about things that he's going to do and wants to do. But God cannot take you there until you embrace the process. Until you humble yourself under his hand. Until you allow him to perfect you and prepare you for promotion. God cannot take you there until you become who he wants you to be. Then he will take you where he wants you to go. Hallelujah. If the worship team will come back, bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word gives us wisdom and understanding. We thank you right now that you are speaking to hearts, Lord God, because there were hearts that were filled with questions. There were hearts that were filled with confusion, and they didn't understand the path, Lord God. But Father, even now, you are speaking. Lord, we know that you're doing a work in this very moment of time. Lord, have your way right now. Have your way right now. Even as hearts are breaking before you right now, have your way, oh God. Do in us what only you can do, Lord God. Do in us what only you can do. We are submitting and surrendering to your hand, oh God. And we say to you, have your way. Have your way. Do it me what you want to do, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If this message has spoken to you, I want you to come to this altar. I'm not going to draw out the altar call. The Spirit of God is already moving. I want you just to get in this altar and say, Lord, I give myself to you. I surrender myself to your hand. Father, have your way in me. Whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish in me so that you can get me to where you want me to be. Lord, I give myself to you. I surrender myself to you. Hallelujah. Oh, lift up your voice, church. I can't cry out for you. Only you can cry out to God for yourself. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory.